is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I'm one of your hosts, Liz. My co-host, Amina, is joining on the Surly Voices Zoom link. How are you doing, Amina?
I'm good. I'm ready to talk about things.
Oh, my gosh. The sound is nice and clear, so much better than on the telephone. Donna will be joining us shortly, but today, as I'm sure you are anticipating, we are going to break down the Hillsborough County, the municipal, Tampa municipal elections. I will issue the disclaimer right up top. The opinions you hear on Surly Voices are those of Surly Feminists for the Revolution and not those of WMNF Tampa or its affiliates. So today, first off, let's make the big announcement. Last night, we sent out invitations to all the runoff candidates for the Surly Feminists Zoom streamed candidate forum. And so that's going to be on March 18th. Keep your eyes out for that. And we will be live streaming it to the Surly Voices page on Facebook and anywhere else we can figure out. First, we got to figure out how to do it, but I got the instructions and I think we can figure it out amongst us. And already we've gotten three responses, possibly more, because I checked right before I came. We had three responses. Yes. So we will be doing the candidate forum with the runoff folks. And if you've never seen one of our or heard one of our forums before, it's not your mama's candidate forum. we generally do random draws of the questions. The questions are submitted by our listeners or members of the Surly Feminists for the Revolution. And so they're randomly selected. What we usually do, if you want to see an example, there's a link to when we did the mayoral candidates. Whenever the mayor's race was last. And it's on the Surly Feminists for the Revolution public page. So you can go there and you can see how it goes. We put all the questions in a bowl, we draw the questions out of the bowl, and we ask them. And so it's very much a randomized kind of thing. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be... We usually have fun whatever we do, so it's certainly going to be fun, and it will also be informational because you'll get to hear the candidates answer questions that they're not usually asked, so it'll be a good time. I see that.
Give us a sample question, Liz.
Oh, I don't remember any right off the top of my head. I mean, they range from humorous to serious. Like, what is your solution? What is your solution for the housing problem? I can remember that one from last time. It's literally the luck of the draw what question you get. I see Donna has joined us, but she's got her microphone off.
I have joined you. I am driving. I'll be there in about 3 minutes.
Okay. She's got a nice photo of her on her Zoom page that has, she's being interviewed by somebody. So I'm sure there's a story there. Let's talk to Jerry real quick because he called in early. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
How you doing?
You're pretty good. How you doing?
Okay.
It's a view.
We lost Jerry.
Did we lose him?
Sorry.
Well, until he... Did we lose Jerry? Jerry,
no, he's here. Yeah. Go ahead, Jerry. All right, what's...
Well, I'm not there. I'm here.
Yeah.
But are you guys... So how are you guys doing? Are you having a good day?
So far.
Okay, so can I just say, first of all, you know, I love your show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But you're not going to... Are you going to mention... Wasn't it just Women's Day or something a day or two ago? Like National Women's Day?
It was.
Well, are you going to talk about it a little bit?
Well, like, give us a chance. Dang, we just got started.
Okay, so that's that. And then the other thing is, yeah, what would, like, solve this homeless problem? Just let's hear it. What do you got?
Well, wait. No, no, no. You're jumping the gun, Jerry. We're talking about the candidate forum.
Sorry. Okay, well, I'm just saying, what's more important? What's more important, the candidates or the homeless problem? Think about it. What's more important?
Well, the candidates are going to tell us how they're going to handle the homeless problem.
No, no, you're going to tell them how to do it.
That's probably how it's going to end up going, but...
You're going to do it. Yeah, you're going to do it. So all I'm asking is, A, Women's National Day or something like that. What's it called? Come on.
International Women's Day.
Women's Day. And then the homeless problem. Just solve it. You can do it.
All right. We'll give it a shot, Jerry.
Give it a shot.
Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Have a nice day.
You
girl,
too.
Ladies.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Can I jump in?
Oh, go ahead.
So I always take issue when we say the homeless problem.
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
It's houseless.
Because, well, that and the problem isn't, you know, necessarily houselessness. It's lack of mental health care. It's lack of, you know, a structure, infrastructure to help people who are disadvantaged.
Yes.
Who can't afford that care, who, I don't know, like, especially people who come out of the prison system. I mean, they're thrown right back into a cycle. And that's not that, no one is addressing that. And I talked to my neighborhood association about this stuff, and what they've basically reported back is that anytime city council candidates are asked about this, they basically say that, like, this is outside of their scope of things they can do.
I don't think so. I don't think it is. So, yeah.
So
thanks for that idea, Jerry, because that's definitely going in the question hopper. So I, if I can figure out a way how to do you know how you, like on Bing, when you call on Bingo and it spins the wheel and you draw a ball out?
Yeah.
If I can figure out how to get my hands on one of those, we can tie that to the questions. that makes it more visually entertaining. So, but yes, we will absolutely ask the candidates about the houseless problem.
And if you're just tuning in, you can call us at 813-239-9663 or text the DJ at 813-433-0885. Right now, Liz is the DJ.
Yes, Liz is the DJ. But you can also send an email to DJ at WMNF.org. And for those of you who want to submit questions for our municipal runoff forum, you can either send, you can go on the Surly Voices page and put them there, or you can email them to surlyfems, SURLYFEMS at gmail.com. So, and now, and Jerry brings a good point. Yesterday was International Women's Day. I don't recall seeing anything that my company put out acknowledging all the service that the mostly women employees do. I'm going to have to go back and check my emails from yesterday. I'm not the best about it, but and I will raise that issue. Let's see, Amina.
Well, in honor of International Women's Day, you know, if people missed celebrating, you can always go to our website at WMNF.org and hit the tip jar and give Surly Voices some funds to keep this going.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of, we got an anonymous donation for $500.
From who?
It's anonymous.
But listen, I'm good at research. I could find out.
Well, they want it to be anonymous, but we thank you so very, 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 very much. And, other shows still haven't met their goals, although we did with this very, very generous donation. If you want to help one of the other shows meet their goal, please feel free. You can still donate to us. We will take all the donations we can get because we don't always.
Listen.
Yeah, we don't.
It is Women's History Month.
Yes, finally. And March came like really quickly. I mean, February just went by in the blink of an eye. So, but yes, International Women's Day. And we also got invited to be on the Postmodern Hootenanny, I think on the 31st of March. So look for us there. And people, they're going to ask why. All right. Number one, if anybody's got a problem with there being an International Women's Day, please call so we can talk about that.
There's literally a national day for just about everything. So if they do get upset about it, come on.
Wait. No. I have actually seen threads where dudes, of course they are white dudes, complaining, well, when's the International Men's Day? So, yeah, if anybody's got a problem with International Women's Day, please give us a call because I really want to talk about that. Otherwise, we're getting back to the municipal election. What in the world, Amina, does municipal elections have to do with feminism?
Honestly, everything. Because they're the people that make the decisions that impact you the most. So, for example,
houselessness.
That can come in an indirect way. Like most people will say, and policy will dictate that it comes from the state, the funding, and or from the county, which is what I was saying earlier, that the city council candidates sometimes say that's outside of their scope. However, there are things like deciding on, for example, any transportation issues, I think this was Hillsborough County, like countywide, like transportation issues, even for example, deciding on like CRA funds and where to invest funds in what neighborhoods, for example, that goes, if you're, for example, impacting a minority community negatively. So East Tampa, that's been overlooked for decades until gentrification started ramping up. I think that feminism right now, intersectional feminism, needs to focus primarily on racial justice. And if we don't pay attention to things like that, then, you know, you can't, I don't think you can call yourself a feminist or a new age feminist. I don't speak for the past feminists.
and we do get some pushback from the second wave feminists every once in a while. But again, we are intersectional feminists, and so that encompasses a whole lot more of the spectrum than just women's rights. So let's talk about the race now. Mayor Castor, who was virtually unopposed and still took in gobs of money, surprisingly won her election, but only with approximately 80% because the other approximately 20% was write-in votes.
I want to see like a word cloud of what was written in.
Right. I want to see who the write-ins were. the candidate that was officially running against her, I didn't see any stats posted about her. But I know I was a write-in vote. I will own that right now. I was a write-in vote because I don't approve of Caster's agenda. And again, this is my opinion, not WMNF's. But it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, you're running virtually unopposed. You're an incumbent, and why are you taking in all this money and running campaign ads? Explain that to me, Amina, please.
Well, one, it can be, most likely a team was hired and they're getting money. Just a way to generate income for those people that may not even need it, to be honest. But I don't know. I know of one person that worked that campaign. And obviously you have to pay staff. But the other thing is there might be larger plans, and this is a great opportunity to get your name out there even more. So let's say, like, after she's termed out of the mayor's office, for example, there are other things to run for. And I'm sure that there's somebody's eyeing that.
Like the governorship, maybe?
Oh, I hope not. honestly, that's what I would do. Like, if I was in a safe seat and I had the opportunity to basically generate more clout, more support, more to get more of my mailers and stuff in front of people, I would take this opportunity to do it, because that's more money spent in getting your name out there.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for making it make sense, because it just didn't. And I'll look, Donna's on the camera now. I had to plug the camera in on this. Well, DT actually did it because I couldn't find how to plug it in.
But I still couldn't hear.
You need to, yeah.
Can our listeners hear the callers?
I think so, yeah. Oh, we're not live streaming this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this is just to talk to Amina, since she couldn't be here. We'll practice live streaming next week. How's that?
Yes. So Marina Welch, I'm going to jump right in here, sent us an email.
Oh, good.
And she's talking about the undervotes.
Undercaster.
Right? So 32,000 people voted, and it looks like about a third of those people chose not to vote for. I was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually voted for you, Donna. I wrote you in. I would have written Amina in, but I wasn't quite sure about an age restriction.
Listen,
so.
Y'all don't want me for mayor. That nobody would be calling in and asking about houselessness if I was the mayor. Yeah, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, she only got 70% of the vote. 10% left it blank. 20% were written in, of course, because there was a write-in candidate. What was her name? Belinda Noah?
Belinda Noah, yeah.
Okay, Belinda Noah. And 10% of people just said, I'm not doing that. So that's not a mandate, you know?
No.
Mayor Caster, if you're listening, you don't have a mandate any more than the sliver-thin victory by which Ron DeSantis won.
Exactly.
Is a mandate. So just let's be clear about that before you start bossing around the city council. That's not all your hand picks. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for real. It's because I did see something about, the people have issued a mandate. No, they have not. 20% actually chose a write-in candidate versus voting for the mayor.
Which is equivalent to throwing your vote away because you know that it doesn't count.
So it's a protest.
People were making a statement.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So that takes care of the mayor's race.
Thank you, Marina.
Yeah, thank you, Marina. If you guys want to join in the conversation, please give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. Let's see. So in District 1... this was a bit of a surprise because the incumbent, Joe Citro, did not make the runoff. So it's now between Sonia Brookings and Alan Clinenden. And so far, Sonia Brookings has confirmed that she will be attending the Surly Feminist Forum. And I sent these at equivalently the same time, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I also sent them to, I wasn't sure because the website doesn't say, but I also sent to Goods and Henderson in case there's some kind of recount thing that shakes out so that they could hold the date on their calendars at least. Do you know anything about that?
Right. They're calling Goods' race, right, saying he lost, or is it going to runoff?
Well, it doesn't go to runoff at that point. Well, 0.31%. Anything less than half a percent goes to a machine recount. And then if the machine recount reduces Henderson's lead to less than 0.25%, a quarter, then that will trigger a hand recount. But listeners need to keep in mind that recounts rarely change outcomes.
Right. How long does it take to do those recounts, Donna?
Those recounts must begin by Friday morning. There's no deadline for how long it has to be, but a machine recount, it's a small number of votes. It'll be done by noon.
Okay. So we'll know for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll know for sure tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I've sent invitations to them. If anybody listening has contacts with them, tell them, yes, I know that technically Sonia Henderson, I'm all mixed up now. I shouldn't have jumped out of line. Gwen Henderson. Gwen or Orlando Goods, I know that technically at this point Gwen has won, but I wanted to make sure that everybody saved the date.
Can I say something about that race?
Yes.
So Gwen has ties. I think, well, actually not ties. I believe it's her sister that filed a hostile workplace complaint against Goods.
Ah.
And, like, I love it that, you know, a Black woman was elected and is going to be in office, but she has also gone on record saying that she will be more collaborative with the mayor.
Oh.
And Goods was not, you know, he was in opposition to the mayor on a lot of things. So she did go on record saying that. So I'm wondering how that, you know, what her plans are. Like, I would love to ask her more about that when it comes time to it.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, she was previously involved in some way against Goods. So the fact that she ran against them and then won doesn't seem like too much of a surprise considering the low voter turnout and how much, for example, now that I'm looking at it, it's a matter of, you know, 5,000 votes just over total for this district.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5,000 people. And I'm sure they were privy to like what was going on before and the complaints that happened. So anyway,
we've talked about all that on past shows and I don't remember the exact date, but the alleged harassment was a bit convoluted in the media reports. The case file is in Hillsborough. If you go to hillsclerk.org, that is the clerk of court's website, you can get the complaint, you can read all about it, you can know exactly what happened and judge for yourself rather.
Yeah, we went over that during our pregame shows, Amina, and you should definitely take a look at that.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to see it should go take a look.
Right. So Sonia Brookings and Alan Clinenden. If he comes on the forum, at least I'll know how to say his name.
Clinenden. Yes.
Clinenden. He will. Like I said, he's been invited. Sonia Brookings has already RSVP'd. The next one, City Council District 2, the runoff folks are Guido Maniscalco, who is the incumbent, and Robin Lockett. And so far, Guido has RSVP'd, and we're just... Now, the invites only went out last night, so I was really impressed that we already had three people respond within 12 hours. So, so that's another outcome. District 3, Janet Cruz and Lynn Hertak are the runoff folks. And Janet Cruz, for all her money and connections and all that kind of stuff, did not blow it out, which was what I know Donna was thinking, that, yeah, this is going to be a wallop. But
well, just because I thought that, and it was close.
Mm-hmm.
It was not.
It wasn't a blowout.
It wasn't a blowout. It was close. What it showed is that the people rallied on this one. I think that her shenanigans, she did it to herself.
Mm-hmm.
She would have won outright, like I predicted, had it not been for her shenanigans in these forums. She showed her posterior in these different forums. The main one, when she turned around and screamed at Lynn Hertak, the people's favorite.
Yeah.
She didn't need to do that. Her machine had enough money, enough radio ads, enough church visits, enough bishop invites to pull this thing off cleanly. And so if you're listening, anybody that's listening that wants to run for office, read the room.
Run clean, too.
Read the room and run clean. Bill Carlson's son told him not to send negative mailers. He won cleanly.
Wait, we're going to talk about that, because that was like the joy of my life when I saw that.
Right.
And if you've been listening to our past couple of shows about the municipal race, the reason that these races are so important is because Tampa has a strong mayor model, and the mayor has a lot of power. So the city council sits as like checks and balances on the mayor. And historically, the way that it goes, and the reason that you hear certain candidates talking about bridge building, is because the mayor's agenda is very much capitalistic, very developer friendly, toilet to tap, stuff like that. And the three candidates who consistently pushed back, when they pushed back, it was not like every day. It was a small percentage of the time that they did not agree or were not on board with the mayor's agenda. The three candidates were Bill Carlson, Lynn Hertak, and Orlando Gutz. And Guido Maniscalco was like a swing vote, if you want to say. Whereas the rest of the city council pretty much went along with whatever she wanted. And so we have talked about the appearance, at least, of an effort by the mayor to put up or launch candidates who would be favorable to her agenda and not push back. For example, her mother-in-law, Janet Cruz.
So just at this moment, I think it's appropriate for me to offer a little break in the action here and tell people that if anyone who's wondering, we got an email from Jane Gibbons in Tampa. She is the former president of the South Tampa Democrats. She says, I'm so tired of the Dino mayor in Tampa. If you're unfamiliar with the term Dino, it is a Democrat in name only. There is a cabal in Tampa,
yes,
and it needs to go. That's the exact word that I used to my husband when I was describing it to him. He is not politically astute last night. That this is the formation of a cabal. And for those of you who are uninitiated, this can go on for a long time. It can go on
ever.
For decades.
Yeah.
And so we saw families in the White House starting in the 80s.
Really the 60s, because if you think about Kennedy appointing his brother attorney general.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the White House, we saw in families since the 60s. We didn't see an end of that until 2008 with Obama. Okay. And so these dynasties, this is dynastic energy,
mm-hmm,
and this is can go on for decades. So just so that you guys understand, and under those types of dynastic influences, entire nations can be parted out to the highest bidder. Case in point, a lot of people don't know that China owns or has, our land has been used for collateral for loans. Our national park systems are in the pawn shop. So
right.
For those of you who don't understand what this means, the same way that the Scientologists own so much land in Clearwater, that can happen to Tampa.
Right.
That can happen to Tampa. Have anybody ever seen that meme, that little movie segment? I don't know what movie it's from. If you know, please text it to me or email it to me, where Penelope Cruz says, it only takes a moment to break something, but it can take years, generations to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so what we're doing right now, for all of the people who are sitting at home watching their YouTube videos, believing in conspiracy theories and saying that voting doesn't matter, we have people protesting and getting arrested because they do not understand the laws around protest in Florida, because they do not vote and they do not pay attention. So that's my soapbox speech for today.
All right. Let's talk to Bill in Tampa. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. National What Day Is Next. I don't believe in any of these things, especially National Women's, National Dogs, National Daughters, National Sons. Get it a break already.
Awesome. So, Bill, are you a white male?
Does that really matter?
It does.
It does not matter. What,
you, here we go.
I don't like something?
Sorry?
Are you serious? You're profiling me because I have an opinion? Are you serious?
What I'm asking.
Come on.
No, let him do it. Let him do it. I want to hear.
That's the last question you should ask.
Why?
Because are you a black female?
Yes. I'm not offended.
What's
see how that works?
Do with anything.
Yeah, I'm a black female.
What does that have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. What color I am, Indian, black, Spanish, or whatever.
Okay.
The question is, I don't like all these holidays. Doesn't matter what color I am.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Bill.
You have no defense.
Oh no, we have defenses.
We know that you're not going to stop talking.
We're gonna
respond. If you'd like to stay on the air while we respond,
sure.
We will. But you can't talk over us.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it matters because people's experiences and their perspectives are shaded by their vantage, meaning that when you purchase a ticket, a lot of the times these apps will show you how you will view the stage. You will view the stage differently based on where you are sitting in the theater. And so oftentimes a person's perspective is shaped by their vantage. Looking through the Hubble telescope is different from looking through a magnifying glass. It changes your perspective. Now, you don't have to believe that, but that has been our lived experiences as women in America, and it has been my lived experience as a black woman in America. And there are things that have happened to me that I can't be absolutely 100% certain that happened to me because I'm a black woman. But when you look at data, the data tells you that different things are happening out of proportion of chance to different people.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I do not disagree.
You can't.
But I don't disagree. But you don't need a holiday for everything. Listen, I've been a business person 40 years, okay. White, male, Jewish, over 60. Where is my situation? When is it National Jewish Day? When is it National Businessman Day for putting up with
all the employees? I'll tell you this.
Wade, don't talk over him.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Right?
When I am doing work in Minneapolis, Ward 11 is an almost entirely Jewish, some Orthodox neighborhood. We note holidays, there's that word, and we don't knock on people's doors after sunset on those holidays.
National.
Okay.
You're right. National.
Okay, but hold on.
This was actually International Women's
right.
Day. So.
We do this because we respect the observant. And guess what? It doesn't hurt anyone. And so the question that I would ask you, since you agreed with me that people's vantage changes based on their perspective changes based on vantage, I would ask you, who does it harm? It seems like it's harming you, and I need to know why.
No. It doesn't harm me at all.
Okay.
It's just another retail game playing situation. We're already past the Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and 4th of July. Now we got national everything you... You got National Friggin' Donut Day. I mean, I'm a big supporter of Dunkin' Donuts, but we don't need National Donut Day.
Does it hurt anyone?
Sunday, Daughter Day, Dog Day, Cat Day, National Raccoon Lodge Day. I mean, come on already. Every day has got... It should be with respect. It should be with respect. Like Martin Luther King Day, President Day, not National Sons and Daughters Day. Because you have a son, you're supposed to... That's a big deal in every world's life. It's National Mother's Day. Come on. It's gotten so out of hand. It is a joke.
Well, yeah, but A, we didn't get the day off yesterday, and B, we didn't get anything special. I mean, it's like you said. I understand your point, Bill. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody's got a day. Everything's got a day, and what's the point of it? I think it's much,
right.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you one question so you can take another call. If there's National Sons Day, I'm just making this up, what is the benefit, really? What happens on that day that it's got to be acknowledged that the son, you already got Mother's Day, so he's going to call his mother on Mother's Day. Does the mother have to call the son and say, you're my son?
Well, and that's something, I don't see a point in National Sons Day, but yes, there is one, and folks post pictures of their sons on Facebook. And so,
oh my God,
yeah.
I get it, but if there wasn't Facebook, what would we do? My point is, it should be, it's gotten so watered down. I forgot your first name. It's got
Liz.
So watered down that you got Sons Day, Dog Day, Gerbil Day. What happens to Martin Luther King Day? What happens to President's Day? What happens to the real Mother's Day? It becomes just another cog in the wheel. There is zero respect for those days when you have watered it down to 362 days. There's probably 3 days left if you want to pick another one. National Don't Fly Over the Bridge Day. I don't know.
So let me ask you a question. Are you suggesting that we celebrate International Women's Day or Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday with the same gravity and tone as we celebrate National Donut Day?
No, I think we should celebrate the ones that made a difference in the country in the last 100, 200, from the day we started. The people that made the difference, Martin Luther King, President's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, Christmas. No, we don't need to celebrate the other stuff because it waters down MLK and everything that you have the respect for. That's my point. That's all. National Women's Day. So you're a woman. I'm a guy.
Well,
so
I am.
What?
I am glad that you stayed on and that we could have, you know, a civil dialogue about this. I apologize for talking over you.
That's okay.
All right. But I just want to say that one of the things that my vantage is, that my perspective has changed by, is that there are a lot of things that we've celebrated for a long time that don't center anyone other than white males. And that a lot of these different holidays, I mean, remember how hard we had to fight for Dr. Martin Luther King's holiday? Remember Arizona and how they behaved when that whole thing went down? So these things exist. And yeah, I agree, National Gerbil Day, that's wild. But
yeah.
I agree with you, and that National Sunset Day and National Put Your Toes in the Sand Day, all that stuff, it does have a dilutional effect on...
I mean, you have the respect for the ones you busted your ass to go get, and now you're going to... 2 days later, you got National Donut Day, a week after Martin Luther... with the people that mattered in our world and in our life. You know, there's the deal.
Well, still yourself, because I know some people are going to call in and they're going to have some things to say. So keep listening, and I'm glad that we were able to have this exchange.
Thank you, Bill.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
You have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. All right, Doug in Clearwater.
Hey.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, I was looking forward to this, but I'm so glad.
Let's go.
I got to send this out to Bill. Bill, I got to tell you, man, I was ready to fire up because I'm a white male. Anyhow, I thank you all for staying on and enjoying the conversation. That is what we need more of in this country, this world, and by God, in Florida.
Yes.
Anyhow, I have a couple comments I would like to make if I could.
Sure. Please.
National days are there to remind us all to either celebrate or remember those days that we may not have known or the people we may have forgotten about. And you know what? It's really kind of up to yourself whether or not you celebrate or contact or whatever. Shouldn't get angry about it. Some of those days, National Women's Day, for me, a couple of years ago, I didn't know it existed, even though I did research years ago and found out that the United States is represented only by 0.7% of all elected offices by women. Myself, I call that, can I use BS instead of the whole word?
Yes. Sure.
I would much rather, as I tell my wife, please, 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 please replace all men with women. Let them have a chance to screw everything up. We've done a good enough job. And along with that is, you know, one of the days that is celebrated here in America, which I cannot stand, is Columbus Day.
Yes.
Some people think it's a good day. I don't think it is.
No, and the ultimate colonizer.
Yeah, my last one has really caused me issues within my circle of friends. I no longer celebrate July 4th. Ain't happening.
I don't celebrate Thanksgiving either.
Well, I celebrate food, but I'm a fat guy that loves food. That's the only reason I celebrate it. But for me, and I've always been interested. I grew up in Texas, and I never understood Juneteenth. And I was an uneducated moron for a long time because even though I'd say I don't really see a difference, back then I saw a difference, and I saw non-whites as threatening to me. The older I get, the more I realize I was the only threat, not them. So I really, really have an issue with July 4th versus June 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's the day effectively we all became independent. It didn't happen. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I can go into ramble mode here, so I'm going to have to back off.
All right.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Well, thank you for calling, Doug.
Our lines are hot.
Hot.
And we have Bill to thank for that. So what I'm going to do first.
Thanks, Doug. I'm going to hang up now.
Bye.
Thanks, Doug. Is that we're going to run through the emails. Right?
Okay.
Just going to do them rapid fire. And then William and Fran are holding. What we'd like for you guys to do is prepare your thoughts so that you can be concise. We're about 12 minutes out from finishing up here. Okay. So we're going to start with the first one is someone says, oh, my God, I was thinking that as an old white guy that I should just play the troll and just in case you don't get one. But you always get a real one. Love you guys. Yeah, we don't need you today. PRN. All right. Then we've got to Bill. The world doesn't care what you like or don't like. Who is stopping you from creating your own day for whatever you like? I think that was kind of his point, though. I've heard of rhinos. La Havine said that I've heard of rhinos. Now I heard of dinos. I have a dream of both major parties just falling apart. There's
yes.
A nod to Dr. King. I would love to see a world in which a person just runs for office with their stance on various issues, like all of the just black and white label, right?
Exactly.
Let the person who best represents the interest of all people win. I do have that dream.
See, I pronounce it dinos. And when you said Dino, mm-hmm. I thought of the Dino in the Flintstones. So now I've got that picture in my head. Thank you.
Dino.
Dino.
Yeah. Okay. Gary Gibbons says, how about National A-Hole Day for that guy? I told you
that's every day.
Bill, I told you this was going to happen. So I told you to brace yourself. So you were warned that this would happen because this,
every day is National A-Hole Day.
Karen Underwood says that I want my National Women's Day gift and week off. This has been going on forever. Just Google what holiday today is during a COVID. During COVID, a friend and I would look up stuff so we could have an excuse to drink like COVID wasn't enough. Karen and Dunedin.
I love that, Karen. Yeah. But you know, Karen's right, though. It's like we didn't really become aware of all these national mm-hmm. days until COVID and we needed a distraction. Absolutely.
Yeah. So DeMarco says, in fascist, patriarchal, white supremacist oppression now, that idiot needs to be angry at the intolerance he himself is showing us. The U.S. was founded as an apartheid state.
Yep.
The only ones who were citizens were rich, white, landowning males, and everything and everyone else was their property. That includes white women. That's why everybody deserves a holiday except white males, Greg D. Then Susan Hatton says, love your show. Keep up the surliness.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to Fran.
Fran. Hi, Fran.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, all these national days, so many of them is, you know, just strictly to get people to spend money on cards or go out and spend money on donuts or whatever it is. I don't really take a lot of these seriously. The thing that's been bugging me is maybe we should have a national red tide on the beaches day. I am so disgusted. I am so disgusted with all this. They're packing in spring breakers and encouraging people, come to Florida, be a tourist, come here, come there. And meantime, they're saying, well, you know, on the weather, on the news, well, you can't go to this beach, but further down the coast, you can go to that beach, and moving people around, telling them where it's okay to go while people are here smelling all this dead fish. And it just makes me sick, the irony of it, packing all these people into this state. And nothing is really done to address this. They say that red tide is a natural occurrence, but I'm not buying that anymore. I'm not buying it. Now it's coming this time of year, and it usually comes later in the year. And, it's got to be climate change connected, of course. But that's I'm just venting again, and you happen to be there to let me vent. So thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Fran.
So, to Fran's point, I just want to put this out there. The number one destination in the United States for young Republicans is
Florida.
Tampa, Florida specifically.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to the city council runoff, folks. In District 4, Bill Carlson beat the Hamburglar handily. And so there is no runoff there. Right. Congratulations, Bill. And then we've talked about Goods and Henderson. It appears that Henderson has won. If there's a recount, then we'll invite. Well, they have already been invited. So then District 6, Charlie Miranda and Hoyt Prindle will be in the runoff. How in the world? Charlie Miranda must have the log on, folks. That's all I can say. It's like, all right. So they've both been invited to the Surly Forum as well. And so it's going to be exciting. Again, if you have questions that you want to put into the hopper, then please give us a call. Well, it's better if you type in your questions, because that way we can roll them up and put them in the bowl. You can email them to surlyfems@gmail.com, or you can go and leave them on the Surly Voices Facebook page. And so let's see. So the amendments are the city charter amendments. Yes, on most of them. I think there was one that didn't pass.
Can Amina, if you have any insight there.
This is your part. She disappeared.
Okay.
No, I'm here. What was the question?
Which of the charter amendments did not pass?
Okay, I have it written down. One. Give me 1 second.
The first one, yeah.
The first one was...
I can't hear the question. That's the only issue. Are they asking about...
No, I'm trying to tell folks which amendment did not pass. And
okay.
It was the first one that did not pass. Mm-hmm. But what was that did not pass?
Amendment to Tampa Charter. I don't have it written down what it was exactly.
I'll get it. I'll pull it up. Just keep going, guys.
Okay. So Donna will pull that up for us. But basically, what we're looking at with this slate for the runoff, we've already got Bill Carlson, who has prevailed. He was one of the triumvirate of of opponents to Mayor Castor's agenda. So he's safe. And so Goods looks like he's out, but it's a little bit too soon to call for sure just yet. But that's how it looks. So now Lynn Hartack is the only solid remaining triumvirate of opponents.
Liz, I have the info you asked for.
Okay. So which city council amendment did not pass?
So number one was the only change, it would be so that the mayoral approval is only necessary for ad hoc committees, not like standing committees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that failed.
All right. Thank you very much.
So, where do we go from
here? But this is where you know what the mayor's priorities are.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a transportation meeting the other day, and she left like 30 minutes in to go and attend a ribbon cutting at Gasworks, which is the new monstrosity development between Ybor and Tampa. On quote unquote underused lands, which I just found that hilarious that somebody was using that term. Why do we have to use all the land? Why can't we let some of the land just be land, you know? But anyway, that's where her priorities are. They're not on solving transportation issues. And I do believe that's the committee that she left, the transportation committee, which she's a member of the committee. And so it's like, okay, yeah, she's not worried about solving the problems with getting around. And the traffic in Tampa right now is absolutely abominable. It takes forever. A drive that would or should take 5 minutes is now a good 20, 25 minutes. And this is not going to be sustainable for any length of time. And the answer is not building more roads. It's getting creative solutions to.
And I would like to offer something that people can use when they're talking to their relatives or younger people about voting, right? Because we've got to get these numbers up so that we can get the things that we need for the city. It's one of the reasons why we have Jane Castor. It's one of the reasons why we almost got, a definitive yes to Janet Cruz. We need not forget that. Yes, there is a runoff, but we almost lost that race. It was not a decisive victory. It wasn't, I would have to say that it doesn't take away from the work that Lynn did, right? Because you really don't need a campaign staff for something like this. You show up at your stuff. So it's not one of those things where we go, she has a brilliant campaign staff. She showed up. She was sincere. She talked to a lot of people. She did the right things, right? So that's how Lynn got here, right?
Yeah. This is where we do our TikTok voting challenge, Donna.
Okay.
Remember you were talking about a program you were doing up in Minneapolis?
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this is how we get the young folks engaged. We do a TikTok voter challenge.
Right.
You go vote, you TikTok yourself with your little sticker on and post it.
Absolutely. But I want to just offer this to people who are going to be talking to their friends and family.
Okay.
Right? Relational voting, right? At this moment. Remind them that when you're sitting in traffic, the time that you spend in traffic every day is less time than it takes to vote. And your voting is how we're going to get a transportation grid in this city that works. So if you don't vote on anything else, vote your time back into your life.
Oh, we need to make an ad on that. Yeah. So Frank's giving me the finger, so we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us. Again, if you want to submit questions for the Surly Feminists runoff forum, please email them to surlyfems@gmail.com, or you can put them on the Surly Voices Facebook page. Stay tuned for True Voices.
Hit that tip jar.
WMNF Tampa 88.5. I like dollars, I like
like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals, where's my pen, bitch, I'm signing, I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks, I like going to the jeweler, I put rocks all in my watch, I like texts from my exes when they wanna be